What's going on, everybody? This is Patriot Underground here. Now, before we begin the show tonight, I just want to say a quick word on behalf of my partners over at PatriotUndergroundGold.com. Now, if you haven't already heard by now, major stock market sell-offs have been happening very recently. It was actually reported at the end of Q4 2023 that Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates combined to sell off $11 billion worth of shares in companies that they have had very substantial positions in, including their own. Bill Gates in particular actually dumped 65% of his portfolio. So obviously, folks, this is preparation for what we know is coming. We've been talking about this for a very long time, a black swan event. You've heard more and more mainstream type figures talk about a black swan event, most recently Katherine Herridge. We know that this is coming. The bottom line is that this news is a barometer of a major economic downturn, bare minimum. So if you have money that's tied up in the stock market, you have a 401k or an IRA, and you haven't diversified or shifted all of your assets out of the fiat debt prison and into precious metals, luckily you still have an opportunity to do so. But I would caution folks that that window is very rapidly closing, because as conditions deteriorate, the demand for gold and silver is going to continue to surge. And even though I'm not a financial advisor, I can read the tea leaves and I can see what's happening. All of us can see what's happening. The direction that the whole world is headed is toward asset-backed currencies. And in the case of the United States, gold and silver specifically. And so if you purchase now, while these precious metals are still being suppressed, you're going to put yourself in a very good position to be able to capitalize on the transition into the new economy, into the quantum financial system, as Nasara and Jassara are rolled out. So I would highly urge people to act now while you still have the opportunity to get in at a very good price and be able to have that peace of mind and knowing that no matter what happens in the stock market, your money is going to be safe and secure in precious metals. And very likely, you're going to capitalize, like I said, on this transition. So click the link below. If this applies to you, don't waste any time, folks. I'm telling you. This is coming, and it's coming fast. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. My partners are absolutely incredible. They're going to work as quickly as you do to bring you the peace of mind that you so richly deserve as we head into this chaotic storm and we experience this financial transition. PatriotUndergroundGold.com. All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is April 3rd, 2024. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. As always, I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So tonight, I'm going to provide a situation analysis report, and we're going to touch a little bit upon some of the issues that I brought up in my previous podcast, not the Patriot Roundtable, but my last situation analysis report. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Diddy raid. We're going to revisit that. We're going to talk a little bit more about the bridge. In both cases, we've had new details that have emerged, not surprisingly. So I'm going to revisit that analysis and augment it a little bit, update it, and give folks my general opinion, I guess you could say, looking through various different lenses, what I think is really going on in both of those situations. We're also going to talk about the solar eclipse, which of course is getting just about everybody's attention now that it's only 5 days away. And of course, we also had a major earthquake in Taiwan, which I somehow believe might be tied into that. We're going to get into that a little bit later and a lot more. So hopefully this will be a good episode. Let's just go ahead and dive right in. Now, first thing we're going to talk about is P. Diddy. All right. Now, everybody who watched my previous situation analysis knows that I had some criticism and certainly shared some of the emotional aspect of the journey in terms of this being an example of a situation that had great potential to be a breakthrough moment, but didn't actually pan out the way that we were expecting it to in the moment, or at least the way I was expecting it to in the moment. But there is a 72-hour rule for a reason. And once again, I'm reminded of that. So let's just go ahead and talk about this story. And let me just frame it by saying this. And I did talk about this in my last show. At least I think I mentioned this, but there's no way that this story is going away. And just because we didn't see an arrest that day does not mean that this isn't monumentally huge news. Now, we found out that Diddy has actually been a CI for the FBI for a very long time. We've also found out a whole bunch of information stemming from a New York Post article that really just lays all of it out. I think the title of the article was The Billionaire Boys Club, and it gets into a lot of things that I think many people probably don't even know or didn't know about Diddy, including me, that he was regarded as a quote-unquote genius by the Wall Street elite. And as a matter of fact, he rang the bell at the New York Stock Exchange multiple times. And that, of course, is a symbol of power and a symbol of influence. And that power and influence spread way beyond the entertainment industry, not only into Wall Street, but also into professional sports, into fashion, into all different aspects of media. I mean, this guy had his fingers in just about every pot there is. And we're now starting to discover why, because, of course, there are no coincidences. All of these individuals and all of these business deals and all of this networking that goes on, well, of course, there's a lot more sinister aspect to it than most people realize. Now, he made business deals with the likes of, I can't remember the guy's name. He's a multi-billionaire, but a major hedge fund CEO. His name escapes me at the moment. But he also had business deals with Macy's, with Lauder. He had his own clothing line, and that clothing line actually designed the jersey for the Dallas Mavericks. And so this guy, very, very big player. And then, of course, the article talks about his white parties in the Hamptons, which were the honeypot operations where he had the cameras set up in every room, and talks about the allegations of drugging people and having sex with them unconscious. I don't know if the article mentions pedophilia. I don't recall that, but certainly that's an aspect of underage girls, underage people. And of course, the whole thing is a Jeffrey Epstein-like operation. As a matter of fact, most of us are sort of honing in on this reality, seems, that P. Diddy was the Jeffrey Epstein of the entertainment industry. At least it seems to be that way. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't individuals above him, perhaps, like Jay-Z. And of course, Jay-Z, there are many people above him as well. And that's kind of where I'm going with this analysis. But before we get there, in the process of getting there, let's talk about three different scenarios that have kind of emerged. I guess you could say three different theories or schools of thought or camps on this whole situation and how it went down and the reason that we saw that raid take place to begin with. Now, the first one I thought was very interesting when I heard it initially, but then I started to reflect and think about it, and there are certain aspects of it that didn't really add up, in my opinion. And that is that Diddy was forewarned by the White Hats that there was a planned hit and that the feds were going to go in there and they were going to stage his assassination, his murder, and make it look like he was resisting arrest. And of course, there are other aspects to it as well. But when you really pause and you think about that for a moment, if Diddy was warned by the White Hats that a hit squad was coming, even though he's not a moral good guy, why would he leave his kids there and risk them being shot? And if the plan was to kill him and make it look like he was resisting arrest, then A, why didn't they make sure that he was home before they stormed in there with military-like force? And B, even if they did miss him at home, why didn't they stage that same exact scenario when they caught up with him at the airport? Now, these are questions that I don't really have answers to. Not only that, why the coordinated media presence if you plan on taking somebody out? Because that seems to be something that would be deep state driven, the MSM being there and having this whole situation being plastered all over the news. If you're the deep state and you want somebody dead, then there are much less complex ways to accomplish that without drawing so much attention to the one issue that is truly your Achilles heel, having to do with this whole blackmailing, honeypotting scenario centered around pedophilia, human trafficking, honeypotting, et cetera, et cetera. And that's exactly what people are talking about. It's not as dramatic as it would have been if we saw an arrest right then and there, Be that as it may, people are still talking about it. Now, that's one scenario. Now, the second scenario, at least in my mind, or things that I've heard based upon the things that I've heard, is that the deep state, the notion that the deep state raided his compounds to collect all of this evidence so it couldn't be used against them. And that really implies that this theory really implies that the deep state knew or suspected that Diddy had flipped. Because otherwise, if he hadn't flipped and he was still working with the deep state, he was still cabal, they would have had him just hand over all the evidence. There would be no raid. There would be no need for this big spotlight of media attention. Not to mention the fact, I mean, if you're Diddy, do you really think that you're giving up all of that evidence, which is probably the one thing that's keeping you alive, if this is the scenario that you're in? Very questionable. And so if the enemy knew that he had flipped, I guess this is really the essence of why I don't really believe this scenario is true. Did they actually think that they were going to find the evidence that they were looking for? I mean, think Mar-a-Lago. Just like in that situation, at the time I talked about this, saying, did they really actually believe that Trump was going to hide all of his treasures in a place that's that vulnerable where they could just come in and snatch it all away? Doesn't seem likely to me. And so, the same question applies that I raised in the previous scenario. Why stage a raid and draw attention to your Achilles heel? And if the aim was to stop or to discredit an investigation with no arrest, then why is the investigation spreading? And indeed it is. So that brings me to scenario number three. And this is kind of where I'm leaning at the moment. Now, I happen to believe that this was a controlled operation to roll out the covert takedown of Diddy, perhaps, or to use his cooperation or capitulation, if he's still alive, to expose the entertainment industry. The Epstein-like coordinated blackmail operation and trafficking network. A raid that public, folks, when you really think about it, doesn't benefit the enemy. It really only benefits the good guys. So despite my criticism of what an immediate arrest might have accomplished, the fact that the investigation is ongoing, and this is all over mainstream media, and it's leading to other individuals, other names, other investigations that are going to open up of even more high-profile individuals, like I said, perhaps people like Jay-Z and Obama, and all the way up the food chain, all linked to Epstein. I mean, this is a massively, massively positive development. But when you look at all the different angles here and you ask these questions and you look at how public this was, it seems to me more likely that the white hats were behind this whole situation and that Diddy is actually cooperating. Now, we don't know, of course, all the details about whether or not they tipped him off about the raid, the extent to which Diddy's playing both sides. These are all questions, I guess, that need to be answered. And of course, I believe they will be through the course of time. And actually, when I was thinking about my initial reaction to this whole story versus how I felt a few days later and basically where I'm at right now, it reminded me of Q Post 4566. And of course, this has to do with Ghislaine Maxwell. But the essence of the post is addressing the criticism that a certain individual or a certain situation or series of events wouldn't be big enough to trigger a mass pop awakening. Now, whether or not you think that the arrest of Diddy would have done that or whether you don't, the point of this Q post, I think, is worth reminding ourselves about because, like I said, we continually have our expectations built. Sometimes it's because of external factors, because of, I guess you could say, because of quote unquote insiders giving us information, building up our expectations, or sometimes it's just coming from ourselves. And based upon the information and the research that we've done, we see a situation happening and we think that it's going to go a certain way, but it doesn't go the way that we expected it to. But that doesn't mean that it's not a massively huge positive development. And this is exactly what we're dealing with here. Like I said, this story is not going away. It ties in to unsealing indictments spanning virtually every industry and every deep state pillar of power. So in this post, Q says the counter argument to saying that Maxwell is not a big enough name to trigger a mass pop awakening is do not make statements based upon assumptions of worth and or value. Do not think today, but rather after today. One leads to another, to another, to another. One leads to many. Crimes against children equals common denominator, no matter political affiliation, mass pop awakening, have faith in humanity, Q. So again, we have to apply the 72-hour rule. We have to give ourselves an opportunity to get past that wave of emotion that comes naturally as human beings who get disappointed when something doesn't happen the way that we anticipated it would. That doesn't mean or negate the criticisms that I gave voice to and the feelings, the genuine concerns that people have. I'm not stepping away or distancing myself from that, but still in all, you have to let the dust settle and you have to analyze it through the lens of the overall trajectory of this war and the way that we've always known that it was being fought. And we have to adjust the way that we're looking at it and remove that aspect of emotion in order to get a clear picture. And so after doing that reflection, it's not that I've, like I said, decided that the things that I talked about before are no longer valid, but I have changed my perspective a bit on this overall scenario. The raid, in my opinion, clearly benefits the White Hats. And all of this major media attention, all this coverage is leaving a huge imprint on the public consciousness, which is, of course, inextricably linked, obviously, to the mass pop awakening. In other words, it's getting people's attention. And even though at this point in time, people can say, oh, there's not been any arrests. Oh, it's just a witch hunt. The truth is, I think that the fact that it's getting so much media attention is having the effect on consciousness that the deep state wanted to avoid at all costs. And that's why I believe that this is a white hat operation. And I don't really see the angles of having it being a deep state driven scenario for all the reasons that I just outlined. And so it's very frustrating in this journey. And believe me, I'm right there with you because we do. It often feels like we're taking two steps forward and then one step back. But when you really pause and you think about it for a moment, that same pattern, two steps forward, one step back, it's almost like the White Hats are reversing the brainwashing in the same way that it was implemented to begin with, like the frog in the pot. Nothing can happen too quick, because it triggers the frog's survival instinct, and then the frog jumps out of the pot, and the deep state didn't want that. And so, of course, they gradually, very, very gradually turn up the heat, then turn it down a little bit, turn it up a little more, then turn it down a little bit. And I think the same is true when deconstructing the MKUltra program. And I think that that is the strategy that the White Hats have been using all along, despite the fact that it annoys us to no end. And that's putting it mildly. And certainly, you know, there's a whole conversation to be had there. But the ultimate goal here, we have to remember that we're at war. And the ultimate goal is to prompt questioning, cognitive dissonance with crumbs. And like Hugh told us, crumbs are easy to digest, but eventually they make bread. And so even though our expectations get let down by reality in the moment because it didn't all just blow up in that time frame that we wanted it to, for good reason, by the way. I'm not criticizing anybody, including myself, for wanting this thing to be over yesterday. We're all human. We're all a part of this journey. We've all made sacrifices to get here. We're all exhausted, battle weary, et cetera, et cetera. But we have to remember that what's happening is that the White Hats are leading the frogs out of the pot. And they're doing it by reversing the brainwashing with the same methodology that got them into the pot to begin with. And so in this case, I guess you could say, to use that metaphor, the water needs to gradually cool before the frogs want to jump out of the comfort of that pot, because they've been in there for so long. They have to get that water gradually colder without shocking anyone too much and having them basically become incapacitated or having it backfire in a million different ways. What the objective is here is to get all of the frogs to jump out of the pot on their own. And I do believe that we're making incredible progress as far as that goes. So that's all I'm going to say about Diddy for now. Now, let's switch gears a little bit here and let's talk about the bridge and the collapse, the analysis that I provided. I didn't get too deep into it on my last show. I was really more focused on the Diddy situation. I touched upon it a little, but I want to get into it with a little bit more depth and clarity tonight. So who benefits from the aftermath or the effect of key events? That's a key question because it generally provides the most accurate lens, in my opinion, in terms of determining the truth beneath the surface. Who benefits as the result of these events playing out? Despite all the propaganda, despite all the lies and disinformation, at the end of the day, who's the beneficiary? And usually that'll tell you who's behind it. So with that in mind, let's look into this whole bridge collapse situation. And let's examine the incident by looking at both theories or both camps that have emerged in terms of who ran this operation. And obviously that would be, is it a white hat operation or is it a deep state operation? And who benefits accordingly? So having framed our discussion that way, let's review some of the key information that, at least in my view, supports what was my initial reaction to this story. And then I'm going to talk about some other possibilities or things to consider that might have me leaning in a different direction. Now, we did find out that the Pentagon Rapid Wartime Response ships are trapped in Baltimore Harbor. And of course, we also know that there's at least tens of millions of dollars in terms of damages, years of repair. I think it's something like 15,000 workers who have been affected by this. I don't think that they've necessarily lost their jobs, but that's certainly a major economic impact, especially on those individuals, but just in terms of its significance on our imports, which we rely upon. It's not the biggest port by any stretch, but that doesn't mean that it's not key infrastructure. We also know that the deep state seemingly does not want footage shown of the bridge collapsing. That was one of the things that really got my attention right in the early stages of breaking this all down. We heard I think it was the mayor of Baltimore, or maybe the governor, was pleading with the media to stop showing the video over and over and over again. So that got my antenna up. Now, on the surface, this appears to be a deep state operation, perhaps to serve as a response or a warning related to the Diddy raid, or just in general, the fact that the walls are closing in on the deep state. And of course, the symbolic name of the bridge seems to suggest that the destruction of the Republic is the consequence of disclosure. If you're the deep state, it seems like a message that would fit that type of action very well. And so all of us have seen the videos. We've seen the explosive, or what appear to be the explosive charges on the bridge, which indicate pre-planning, bare minimum. We also saw that Biden immediately came out and he announced that it was an accident and it wasn't a terrorist attack before any investigation had even begun. And that's also the hallmark usually of a deep state operation when they start gaslighting you right out the gate. Jumping to conclusions indicates a narrative construction hard push consistent with Illuminati methodology. And we also know that the deep state false flag operations that we've seen over the years tend to cause massive damage and certainly psychological impact as well as casualties. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But they also serve as warnings, as previously mentioned. So that's one possibility, that this was a deep state operation that was designed perhaps not to cause mass casualties, but to send a message in response to the way that this war is going, or perhaps more specifically, the raid on Diddy's compound. That was my initial thought. And certainly I saw the theory circulating about this being a white hat operation. And at first that didn't resonate with me because I thought to myself, there's too many things that don't seem to add up here. Why would you crash a boat into a bridge in order to save kids? I just didn't really see the validity of that argument, let's just say, or that theory. But I'm going to examine this theory tonight and let folks make up their own minds, because certainly I'm in the process of doing exactly that. And that's a big part of what this show is all about. So this whole theory that this is a white hat operation, presumably to rescue kids in shipping containers. And in order to actually talk about this theory, let's review a few more facts that we've learned that actually support the idea that it could have been a white hat operation. Now, this certainly looks like it was a controlled demolition. I talked about the explosive charges. We know that traffic was stopped, and certainly it seems like there were minimal casualties. In fact, we don't really know anything about the people that have died. And usually, when there are casualties involved with a deep state false flag operation, it's plastered all over mainstream media. They're humanizing the people, talking about who they are, their families, their hopes, and their dreams, and all of these things, usually all over the place when you see a deep state false flag operation. But we haven't seen that. And we also haven't seen the media really heaping on the disinformation, changing their stories in a way to confuse people and confuse the narrative and ship, just jumble everything around so people don't know what to make out of it. We haven't seen too much of that either. It's been a pretty straightforward media approach to this whole thing. Now, we also found out that the ship captain apparently is Ukrainian, which of course ties into the human trafficking hub of the world, or one of the biggest ones. And then, of course, we have all the Q references. The ship entered the harbor at 1:07 a.m. It's the 17th largest port. There were 764 tons of waste on board. Of course, you add those up, you get another 17. And then the coup de grace, it was exactly 17,170 days from opening to collapse of that bridge. And of course, all the shipping traffic is now blocked inside of that harbor. And I'll explain why I think that's important in just a moment. Now, white hat operations don't usually involve the destruction of key infrastructure and cause casualties. That's, I think, worth stating. The only exception would be to stop a mass casualty event or to deter or prevent evil practices like human trafficking. So that begs the question, why would it be necessary to destroy a bridge to interdict a ship? Couldn't they have just intercepted the vessel another way? And my initial thought process on that was exactly that. Like, there are much easier ways of doing this. But then it occurred to me that perhaps this was not just about that ship, the Dolly. Maybe the intention was not only to save human trafficking victims on board that ship, if indeed that was the case, but a larger operation to disrupt and destroy, essentially, the human trafficking shipping routes, which necessitated collapsing a bridge. I mean, Q told us to watch the water. And this is just yet another example that we can apply that famous quote to. If this is the case, that this was a white hat operation, the question then would become, would there be any sizable impact on human trafficking by carrying out this operation? In other words, would destroying a bridge and disrupting that route have a massive effect on human trafficking in general? And I think the answer to that question is yes. Now, we all know that Baltimore is massively corrupt, and certainly the harbor reportedly is a major trafficking route that links into DC and other areas. And these routes are very specific and they're very tightly controlled. They all involve bribes, extortion, etc., in order to grease the skids. It's not like they can just simply switch it up and go a different route, and they don't have a million different logistical problems that they have to deal with. In other words, destroying one route, a major route, has a major impact. So I think it's very possible that this was a strategic white hat operation to sabotage human trafficking networks. I didn't initially think it was plausible that the white hats would destroy a bridge to carry out a rescue operation of one ship, because that's too complex and there's too much damage to the infrastructure. And there are easier ways of interdicting a ship, like I talked about. However, if this was about more than just one individual vessel and intended to disrupt this entire human trafficking shipping route, and destroying a bridge was necessary to do that, do I think the white hats would think in that case that the ends justify the means? Absolutely. We didn't see any casualties, really. They stopped traffic. They did it in the middle of the night. So there are a lot of aspects of this that seem to be consistent on second thought with white hat maneuvering and what we typically identify as a white hat operation, or what we think is a white hat operation. And so, like I mentioned, we've got all these other ships that are stuck in port. That could be another aspect of this as well. It's possible that there was a major search and seizure operation, a mission that was coupled with this deep state strategic sabotage, and all of this carried out under the cover of darkness, covertly. But at the end of the day, the truth is that we have to acknowledge we don't have any evidence to suggest that this was a rescue operation beyond the circumstances that I just broke down. In other words, we don't have any direct proof or anything to point to say, that looks like that could be kids that they're rescuing, or some sort of footage or some sort of testimony in that vein that would lead us to believe or lead us to the conclusion that this was undoubtedly a white hat operation. I'm just being honest. That's exactly what fuels our collective frustration, of course, the fact that we don't have that proof of knowing one way or another. So let's switch gears a little bit here and let's talk about the eclipse and everything surrounding April 8th. Now, it's very well documented that energy from an eclipse can trigger earthquakes and other extreme weather-related conditions. Then again, so can HAARP and tectonic weapons. So keep that in mind. Now, we know that Taiwan experienced a major earthquake yesterday, just 6 days before the eclipse. And we have to ask ourselves, is the energy from the eclipse the culprit here, or is it the cover to something else going on? Now, we know that the White Hats, for example, use weather-type weaponry, tectonic weapons, in order to take out dumps. We also know that the deep state uses them for their own purposes. Now, I don't think it's likely that the deep state would want to attack Taiwan, because my theory is that China is going to go into Taiwan and clean up all the deep state that's controlling that major island. That's very strategically important, specifically in terms of technological elements necessary to run what they hoped to roll out in their New World Order plan, this technocratic superstate, Taiwan. My understanding is that a lot of the technology that they were developing is centered on that island. I'm just going to leave it at that for now. Now, to add to all the drama, we also know that CERN is being fired up, the Large Hadron Collider Particle Accelerator, on the day of the eclipse. And not only that, we also heard that NASA is shooting missiles up into the atmosphere. And this is, of course, fueling speculation about what's going on here. Is the enemy seeking to harness these energetics to possibly open portals, to augment some sort of a Project Bluebeam, false flag alien invasion situation? We don't really know. And so there's that element. We've got the earthquake. We've got all the strange anomalies in the weather, which, of course, have only been intensifying. But certainly, as we're getting closer to the eclipse, wouldn't surprise me if we see more and more of these. We've got the CERN aspect. We've got NASA, like I just mentioned. And then, of course, we've got the whole trajectory of the eclipse event itself. And you guys will recall that I talked about this in my last interview with Brad Olson, where we were tying in biblical prophecy to this whole thing. And he talked about the devil's comet being added to the mix, the fact that the trajectory of the eclipse itself traverses the New Madrid fault line. It passes over Nineveh in seven states and Salem, I think, in seven cities as well. And in general, we talked about the well-established connection between celestial events, biblical prophecy, and major earth changes. And given where we are right now, I think that's a very, very important discussion to have. And he also talked about, or he mentioned that the Chinese spy balloon mirrored the path of the eclipse. And I'm sure many of you by now have learned that the emblem for Space Force looks awfully similar as well, which, of course, to me, suggests a white hat comm. And in addition to all that, we have the deployment of National Guard troops in several states, including a biohazard response team, which, of course, could be a very convenient cover to deploy troops all over the nation in preparation for what Q told us to expect, the scare necessary event. But my take is that this eclipse certainly represents shifting energy as we transition from third density into fifth density, from 3D to 5D, and even a potential DNA upgrade. It could be a possible cover for an EMP or a cyber attack, Project Bluebeam, which I talked about just a couple minutes ago. But the rapid acceleration of consciousness will likely be the end result of this eclipse. We can only hope and pray, of course, but I do think that that's exactly what's going on. We're seeing a massive, massive shift in the energy that's directly tied to human consciousness. Now, it's very possible we could see the enemy run a false flag. This is perfect cover. And because the narrative prep has been ongoing, it once again raises the question of the degree of white hat control over the mainstream media. And by extension, is this yet another example of deep state predictive programming? Or could this potentially be a wartime pump fake by the good guys? We don't really know. But one way or another, my gut seems to be telling me, even though we may not see a major event on the 8th, that this celestial event represents a major turning point in the consciousness of humanity. I mean, we'll have to see what happens, but there's no doubt that people are responding very powerfully to these new energies that are being introduced to this planet. And the only question is whether this event is going to be another precursor, or is it going to be the beginning of the storm itself? Now, the last issue that I really wanted to touch upon tonight that really isn't getting a lot of attention is this whole Boeing story having to do with John Barnett. Now, we just heard today that Blinken 737 experienced technical failure and had to have an emergency landing. And, you know, all of these coincidences with aircraft lately, it's just absolutely incredible. Literally every single day, it feels like there's another Boeing story, at least one. And it's gotten to the point where it's kind of strange in a sense that it's all, no pun intended, flying under the radar. Rather ironically, given everything else that's going on, it's not getting as much attention, I think, as it probably would under different circumstances. Now, John Barnett, clearly he was either scooped up by the White Hats or he was suicided prior to his deposition. And there are people who've come forward and said that the night before, or the night actually that he killed himself, supposedly, he was drinking Coke, eating quesadillas, and telling everybody that he wasn't suicidal. And if anything happened to him, that it wasn't suicide. I mean, it's always the same story over and over. We keep hearing these people who die under mysterious circumstances seem to always tell at least five other people that they're not suicidal, and it comes out. And so meanwhile, we've been having all of these emergency landings. We've been having panels flying off of planes, wheels flying off on the runway, engine failures. Like I said, it's become literally a daily event ever since this news about Barnett broke. And so what's the significance of all this? Well, it exposes Boeing's safety issues, of course, but that disclosure, I believe, is going to lead to much larger revelations about Boeing's role in the military-industrial complex. It also encourages people not to fly, which if you're anticipating the EBS, like I am, and you're the White Hats, that seems to be pretty consistent with their objectives, limiting air travel specifically ahead of the emergency alert. So my take on this, my gut feeling is that Barnett is actually alive, and that the way that this story is continuing to play out, for all the same reasons that I've talked about so many different issues, the theatrics, the drama associated with it, the coincidences that just keep happening over and over and over and over again. It seems to me all of that synchronicity can't be an accident. And those individuals, like John Barnett, or really any major whistleblower out there, that are truly an existential threat to the enemy, they've either been killed at this point, or they're in white hat protective custody. And that's exactly where I think John Barnett is. Now, when this story does fully unravel, like I said, it's going to expose the military-industrial complex in a massive way. And I do believe that moment is not far off. So on that note, let's conclude tonight by talking about the much anticipated black swan event, or events, as I've said, that we can literally feel creeping closer with every passing day at this point. Now, this black swan event has been predicted by many, many public figures at this point, including General Flynn and Catherine Herridge and many, many others. I mean, we just saw Jesse Waters the other night on Fox News using the word normie and talking about the normies waking up. And this is getting more and more mainstream, our lingo. A black swan event, the normies, all of these things are bleeding into the mainstream media. You can see what's happening here. And then, of course, we've got Trump's pause comments, which I think point directly to an EBS scenario prior to the election. And we know that there needs to be some sort of a triggering event. This isn't going to just happen out of the blue. That's the whole purpose of this movie, is building up to that climax. Is it slower than we want? You bet. But can you deny that that's the direction we're headed? I don't think you really can. So in my opinion, what this really all comes down to, and I've talked about 2024 being such an important year, Trump's reelection, first of all, it's never been the objective of these last few years. We haven't been like campaigning for Trump to get him back into office. That's never been, I mean, of course, we want Trump back like yesterday, but this has never been about the election, because his reelection is not synonymous with justice. It's not synonymous with disclosure. It's not synonymous with mass arrests and deportations, even though he's talked about that. Or let's just say this, it's not synonymous with a mass pop awakening, which is what this is all about. And so if all of these things happen after his reelection, for example, mass arrests, mass deportations, et cetera, it's going to make Trump look like a dictator. And how many times have we heard that the White Hats have made decisions specifically to avoid those optics? So I don't really think that it would make a lot of sense after all this time to go that route in that direction when it could have been done a different way much sooner. Of course, there's a whole conversation and debate to be had on that. I recognize that, but let's just kind of leave that there for now. But I strongly believe, I really do, that at this point, revealing the existence of the White Hats and their control requires fake Biden optically to be in power. I don't think that they can do it after Trump gets reelected. And we can debate that all day long. Certainly folks can make up their own minds about that. But I think that some of the issues that are questions that I just raise are worth considering when you're coming to your own conclusions on that. And certainly folks can let me know in the comments what they think. But I'm not suggesting that getting Trump back into office isn't important. What I am suggesting, like I said, is that his reelection is not synonymous with victory in this war. And it changes fundamentally a lot of things that we believed were going to happen. Now, that may end up being the case. We'll have to see how things unfold. But as I've said many times, in my view, the 2024 election, should it go forward, it effectively engraves the fraud of 2020 into the history books. Not only that, it negates all of Trump's statements about fraud vitiating everything, returning the stolen diamonds, etc. I mean, let's be clear here, folks. Returning the diamonds, that's a reference to our freedom. Specifically, in this case, our freedom to hold free and open elections, to elect our own leaders. The diamonds don't refer to the leaders themselves, as much as we love Donald Trump. This has never really been about one man, and we all recognize that. And not only that, from an economic standpoint, the transition into the quantum financial system requires some sort of financial economic calamity under fake Biden. It makes no sense to usher in a new system without having some sort of a stimulus, a major reason, a major crash, which is what we've been anticipating. And I do believe that has to happen under Biden in order for the quantum financial system to move forward, in order for that reset to take place. I just don't really see us gliding into the 2024 election, Trump getting elected, and then everything just magically falling into place. We're talking about information that is going to bring the world literally to a standstill. Going to bring the world to its knees. And as far as I'm concerned, in order for that to even happen, to even have that conversation about a possibility of so radically changing the consciousness of the world like that, you have to bring things to a pause. You can't just go forward with business as usual. And so there are a lot of different angles to this, but the whole point is to demonstrate, in my view, this whole point of the last 3 years or 4 years has been to demonstrate or to simulate the deep state endgame, the policies where they wanted to take us, to have people go through it. Because again, like we said a million times, you can't tell people, you have to show them. And you have to show them under the conditions of Trump optically not being in power. But the truth, folks, if we're being honest, and this kind of ties back into my previous show, which I've referenced multiple times tonight, because I think these two kind of go hand in hand. If we're being honest, people can only go on so long living in an environment, in a totally inverted reality, an environment of complete deception without snapping. Eventually, there's a psychological element that comes into play here with any type of war, but specifically a psychological war, a fifth gen type war like this. That's what we're all experiencing. That's where all of these emotions are coming from. Because we're fighting this battle every single day on the front lines, and we haven't been given that real relief yet. And I think that there's only so long that that can go on. Again, we're all human. We're all digital soldiers. But the fact of the matter is that this environment, this situation of complete inversion and the withholding of the truth, that can only go on for so long. And another stolen election, I think, would definitely push people over the edge. And there's no telling where that could lead. And certainly, we have to consider the possibility that maybe they're planning on having that happen and having the White Hats being forced to intervene. But then again, that's what we expected to happen back in 2021, and it didn't. And so if we were to see another stolen election under the circumstances that we're under right now, and you can only imagine how much tension is going to build over the next several months. I mean, we have no idea what's going to happen. But as we get closer to that election, it's just going to get more and more and more tense, like that spring being compressed. And if there was to be another stolen election, folks, I shudder to think what that's going to look like. Unless the White Hats immediately intervene and use that moment to trigger the EBS and to make their move. But one way or another, the moment of intervention needs to come, in my opinion, really soon. It needs to come this year. Doesn't mean that I'm right necessarily. It's my opinion. It's my thought process at the moment. But I can't see myself shifting too dramatically on that under foreseeable circumstances. But I also have to admit that so much of this journey is unforeseeable. And I have to always give myself the ability to stay fluid on that. But one way or another, like I said, there's going to be some sort of revelation this year in 2024 about the direction that we're ultimately headed. And in many ways, a referendum, if you will, on this whole Q operation. And by the way, I'm going to be talking with Dave and Mark, my friends over at News Treason, on Sunday. We're going to be doing a live show, and we're going to get into that in a lot more detail. So all that said, I'm going to leave folks with this. My faith and my trust in this plan is as rock solid as it's ever been. And quite frankly, the longer this journey goes on, some people, they're, you know, they feel like their connection to the plan, their trust, and all of these things are waning, waning, waning. And don't get me wrong, I have my moments. But overall, the longer this goes on and the more that I study it, the more that I reflect on it, the more that I experience these cycles of emotion, disappointment, all of the things that go along with the analysis really that I did the other day, the more I go through it, the more I find myself in my faith in the plan, perhaps strangely, paradoxically, but it gets stronger. And I realize more and more that this is a divine mission and that the enemy is doing everything that they can to try to confuse us, to try to throw us off track, to try to get us to give up, to try to get us to go after each other, divide and conquer. All the tactics that they're using, and the effect it has on me ultimately, folks, is it strengthens my resolve, because I realize we're at a place, a crossroads in history right now, an unprecedented time. I do believe that we chose to be here. I do believe that we were chosen to be here. And regardless of your spiritual views, if you really go back and you look at your life and everything that you've been through, did it not prepare you for this moment in time? Did it not shape you into the person that you needed to be, that God needed you to be? And that's really what it comes down to in the end, folks. God is faithful. He's going to see us through this. The best is yet to come. All right, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Do me a favor and let me know in the comments and hit that like button if you did enjoy today's show. And speaking of links, I just want to mention a couple different ones. First of all, the different platforms I'm on. Make sure you're following me on Telegram. I'm also on Truth Social, but I'm not as active on Truth Social. Telegram is where you're going to find me if you really want to interact. And as, in terms of video platforms, I'm on BitChute, Rumble, Podbean, and Odyssey. I also want to mention my locals community that is growing. That's patriotunderground.locals.com. You can join for $5 a month, get first access to all of my new content. You can be a part of our Patriot roundtables. It really is a great way to support my work. You can also make a one-time donation if you don't want it to be a monthly thing. And thank you, everybody out there who's made a donation. Thank you for being members, subscribers. You've made so much of a difference in terms of helping me move in that direction of being a full-time podcaster someday. You know, it's all in the Lord's hands. It's in so many ways, it's in your hands as well. But I'm very fortunate because I have so many people supporting me. So God bless. And there are other ways to do that. I didn't really get too much into the financials tonight, but gold is, I think, for the fifth day in a row at an all-time high. And we also see silver on the move, passing some very key markers. I think $26 was has always been a key marker. It's beyond that now. So we've, or at least the last time I checked, don't quote me on that, depending on when you watch this, but gold and silver are moving, folks. We know the direction that this is all headed. It's all going back to constitutional money, gold and silver. The whole world is moving in this direction. That's the reason that precious metals are going to skyrocket. You're going to see this trend continue. And I do believe that if you have a 401k and you have an IRA and you've been sitting on the fence because you're not really sure, it seems like a really big move and you don't really want to get away from the stock market because it seems like it's still going up and all these things. I'm telling you, folks, that reversal is already happening. We're going to see more and more banks fail in the coming weeks. I happen to believe that we're going to see a big stock market downturn. That remains to be seen. I'm not a financial analyst or professional, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, folks. I've been talking about this for years now, that before this is all said and done, we're going to see an economic black swan event. And you don't want to be tied up in the stock market when that happens. And again, you can already see that precious metals are moving exactly in the trajectory that I anticipated they would. And I'm sure the people who have already made this decision to roll over their retirement portfolios into precious metals through Patriot Underground Gold or patriotundergroundsilver.com are very, very happy with their decision. As a matter of fact, I have yet to hear from one person out of all the people that I've referred have a single complaint. And I'm sure right now they're very happy with what they're seeing. So folks, I'm telling you, now is the time. Either diversify if you really want to play it safe or just do the right thing. And in my opinion, the smart thing, and put all of your hard-earned money into gold and silver. Hold your retirement savings. Historically, this has always been proven to be accurate. In economic downturn periods, in depression periods, in recession periods, people always want to store their wealth in gold and silver. And now is the time to make that move. So that's all I'll say on that. I also mentioned really quickly my other partners over at switch-stores.com/Patriot Underground. I always talk about how it is the best place to get all of your personal and your household products. These are some of the best products I've ever used. They're manufactured right here in America by a patriotic company. They're shipped right to your door at incredible prices, incredible ingredients. These supplements are literally the best in the world. Their essential oils are incredible. They have a wide variety of things. Their cleaning products are amazing. Their hand lotion is amazing. It just goes on and on. But most importantly, you're not giving your money to a cabal-controlled big box conglomerate. That's what this is all about. switch-stores.com/Patriot Underground. It's a no-brainer, folks. Do your shopping with the good guys. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another report. Until then, God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.